you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, this is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I am Jason Goff, and I am joined by Casey Johnson and Rob Schaefer of NBCSportsChicago.com. Coming up on the show, we'll discuss the bubble, the teams that aren't in the bubble, what's going on with the Bulls coaching search again. We'll also get into Coby White and his sit down with Rob Schaefer about basketball, life, and also where he comes from.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness, and packaged cold for peak refreshment, because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, guys, we're here once again. We've got different issues to attend to, and Casey Johnson, Rob Schaefer from NBCSportsChicago.com joining us on the Bulls Talk Podcast. So, fellas, the bubble, the whatever you want to call it, the scrubble, the bubble that isn't, whatever the case may be, there's a lot of fancy names for something that didn't happen for – it seems like it's not going to happen for the rest of the NBA teams who aren't in Orlando. Casey, what's the latest that we have on that for the Bulls and some other teams who are looking forward to the draft now?
Well, the latest is, you really got only one shared goal between these eight teams, and that is to get some kind of formal group activities authorized by the league and the Players Association. How that plays out and the format that takes, they're different goals. There are some teams that wouldn't mind doing a bubble, and there are other teams that just want to stay in their own practice facilities and not travel. There are other teams that want to do, regional scrimmages against another team. And complicating this is that Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the Players Association, is on record as saying, unless there are the exact same safety protocols that are going on in Orlando for the second bubble, it's a non-starter for her. The league's attention mostly has been in Orlando, obviously, and that was a significant financial undertaking. So you'd also have to factor in that is, what kind of financial undertaking would they commit to these eight teams? It did look like there was some positive momentum for not a bubble, but for each team to be able to hold some sort of, off-season training sessions, group sessions in their own practice facilities, kind of like OTAs in the NFL. And I don't think that's dead, but there's certainly not as much optimism as there was maybe a week, 10 days ago for that. It's fluid and it's nothing definitive yet, but you may be staring at, that dreaded 8-month window between no formal group activities for these eight teams. And that's just, we've already gotten into that, how difficult that would be for those teams.
Yeah, it's a weird time, Rob. And what we have now is everybody going into next year or thinking about next year who isn't playing right now. How are they going to get better? How can you get your hands on guys, literally, make sure that they're healthy enough and doing the things that they need to be doing out there, Rob? How, if you were running the Bulls and you found out that the bubble part two isn't happening, what do you think the best plan is? Or what do you think the plan might be going forward? Because you're going to have to come up with something. These guys obviously can do things around their homes if they've made enough in their career to put gyms or, hoops up in their homes. But what's next for this outside of just shooting jump shots by yourself?
Yeah, I don't know, because I know what they're doing now is, as many people as are in town are doing one-on-zero work, individual work. I just don't know how much you can get out of that. I know some people have rolled eyes at the notion that the Bulls should be upset to be left out of Orlando and to not have any kind of organized, whether it be a second bubble or whether it be organized group activities. That's gotten a little bit of eye rolling for kind of what impact that could actually have on them. But if I'm the Bulls, I absolutely believe that I could get something out of that, especially with such a young team. So if I was running the Bulls, I would definitely be bummed out by that. I kind of get why discussions stall in this. Casey, you described kind of all the safety and medical hurdles that would need to be cleared for it. And if it's a risk reward thing for the league, I mean, obviously the reward factor for the Orlando bubble is just so much greater monetarily and things like that. When you talk about televising games and crowning a champion and things like that, the reward is just so much greater for Orlando than it would be for this. This would almost seem to just be a gesture of goodwill towards the eight teams more than anything that they would directly get from it. So I don't know. It's a lot of, I don't know still. I feel like we're back pontificating about the original bubble again. Yeah. But if I'm the Bulls, I get why they're bumped out. I get why AK and Mark Eversley have said from the beginning that they wanted something. It just makes too much sense to me.
I get why they want something too, because they want to find out what they got. Right. You know, all the people who, and we're going to get into this, Casey, but for all the people who want Jim Boylan gone, and all the fans out there who are ringing the bells about this, if you're AK and you're Mark, you'd like to have as much time watching the current head coach of the Bulls go along with the current players and get your eyes on them for whatever amount of scrimmages or practices you possibly can. Am I wrong?
No, that's certainly another layer to this. I don't think that's the be-all, end-all scenario for the decision-making process that the front office is going through. I think it's more complicated than that, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, I mean, right now they're sitting around watching guys work out individually with assistant coaches as opposed to seeing Jim and his staff in action, holding practices, perhaps coaching a regional scrimmage, et cetera. And beyond the Jim aspect to this, it's also, you know, they just want to see more of their players and how they – you know, look in practice or maybe perhaps in scrimmages. You know, I think we've all kind of gone over this before, but we're all kind of expecting 2021 to be a little bit of a whole tread water year because just financially they're not going to be able to do a lot in free agency if Otto Porter Jr. opts in, which I'm sure he's going to. And so, you know, I think they're going to get this opportunity next season as well. My sense always has been that there's more significant changes are coming next offseason in 2021, not this offseason. And I think that's both for the coaching picture and also the roster. But anytime you get to see guys when you're new to a franchise do more than just, you know, put up jump shots or, you know, do you know, defensive slide drills or what have you. It's beneficial. And, you know, Rob, just touch on this, but everybody's poo-pooing the fact, you know, they're missing out in Orlando and what kind of experience would that be? I completely disagree. I mean, you know, look at the Phoenix Suns or, you know, even the Wizards who are getting drilled, those young guys are getting, you know, valuable run right now. And the Bulls are, you know, putting up jump shots with assistant coaches wearing gloves. You know, I mean, it's just not the same, man. So to me, I still can't believe that they've left eight teams behind. To me, it was always 16 or 30 was the answer.
And let's face it too. I mean, you're missing out on a piece of history. I know it sounds weird, but everybody performing right now in Orlando, like I listened to Taylor Rooks talk about her experience since she's been down there, and all the things like the documentaries that are getting ready to happen because of this. I'm not saying basketball players care about that, but a piece of history, like you're in a league and you're not allowed to participate in the league for whatever this year was going to be for the last, you know, 10 games or so. It is weird. And like you said, to see Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges and all those dudes and DeAndre Ayton and all those guys go at it for a Phoenix Suns team, they know they're not going to win the championship, but they're feeling a little bit better about the group that they're putting together after they compete against teams where there's no travel. And obviously the variables are all different than they would be in a normal season, but there's no travel, there's no crowds, it's just hooping. And sometimes you figure out who's the best player on the court. And on a court with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Devin Booker, he did his thing. And you'd love to see Kobe White or Zach LaVine or Wendell Carter Jr. or Daniel Gafford, some of these young players, get a chance to do their thing on a stage such as this bubble format. So I understand. I understand completely.
I will say though. I will say though, it is weird, but the big but here is all they had to do was come in 22nd in the NBA to be there. So I don't necessarily like feel like the Bulls were wronged. I mean, it's a little weird that they did the in-between option of 22 teams as opposed to either 16 or all 30. you know, if the season goes differently, they would be there.
John Zion weren't in that top 16.
Exactly. Well, John would have been, but yeah, Zion is the big one. But again, if we're talking about the front office aspect, whatever you think of Jim, I just totally get why two new guys coming in at the top of the front office think that there's no way that team activities could be anything but beneficial to this team. That's just such a reasonable stance to me.
Basketball players play basketball and they get better at basketball. I mean, it's as simple as that. Speaking of, as the gym turns, KC, what's the latest for everyone who tunes into this podcast near and far, just to find out how we feel about Jim Boylan and what's going on right now with the Bulls?
Well, I wrote on July 21st that Arturis is taking the long view on this decision because of multiple factors. First of all, that's what he said he was going to do. He was going to watch Jim in action, and he was going to get to know him. And then you also have to complicate, or, you know, add in the complication of the pandemic and how that is disrupting not only all teams' finances, but also the 2021 NBA calendar. We don't even know when the 2021 season is going to start. There's certainly more signs than not that it's going to start in December. But what if we get closer to December and they realize, you know, maybe a vaccine's right around the corner and they see a window where they can get fans in the stands, and then the league and the Players Association, you know, push the start of the 2021 season to early 21 so they can get fans in the stands for the whole season. There's just so much unknown here. So Arturis Karnišovas is taking the long view on this decision. I also wrote on that day, July 21st, that there are more signs than not that, you know, Jim is being empowered to return. You know, I don't think it's I don't think that decision is final, but it certainly looks like it's trending that way. And then our guy, Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times, cited some sources saying that some financial concerns of the Reinsdorfs are playing a factor in this decision, which I alluded to in that July 21st piece, although I did not source it out. It was written in my own voice. So there's just a lot of smoke that Jim is going to be back. And regardless of what happens, and I know it's a big decision and certainly a polarizing decision for the fan base, the dominant theme here is that the uncertainty is what's dragging this out, is that we just don't have a timeline for the 2021 season. And I do think that the pandemic certainly plays a factor in this. I think bringing a unproven first-year head coach to ownership would be a hard sell at this time. I've said all along, I see major change coming in the 2021 offseason. I think that then placates ownership for a year. Arturis and Mark Eversley get a lay of the land for the roster and how the staff works. There are certain people on Jim's staff that he likes. Chris Fleming, he has worked with before in Denver. So kind of all over the place here because it's a fluid situation. But I personally think that the changes are coming in 2021, and we'll see how it plays out.
Rob, anything that you have seen over the last couple of days since we last talked about this that have made you change your mind, or a new take on what the Bulls coaching situation is or will be?
Well, I don't know about change my mind, because I've tried not to make my mind up on anything, because, you know, if we've learned anything over the course of this, it's that nothing – you can't stand on solid ground with pretty much any take in this day and age when it comes to the NBA and things like that. So I don't know about mind change, but KC, like, you definitely hit the nail on the head saying that there's a ton of smoke coming from a lot of different places. And, yeah, it just seems like that's the way things are trending. So a lot of people aren't going to be happy with that. I think that's understandable when you look at the results in the Jim Boylan era. I can't poo-poo anyone that is, you know, dissatisfied with the possibility that he might come back next season. But we just kind of have to follow the facts and follow the way things are trending. And Casey, you sum it up better than anybody. It's just a complicated situation with all the uncertainties surrounding, you know, finances are a part of it. The coaching staff thing is a part of it. The uncertainty surrounding when the 2021 season is going to start, the roster and flexibility. There's just so much gray area in this that I'm just kind of trying to follow it, see where it goes, and we'll break it down from there. I will be curious, as you've alluded to, Casey, when the 2021 offseason starts and there is some ability to move around the pieces on the roster and potentially create a roster that maybe if this one isn't as to AK's liking as we once thought it was, I'll be interested to see what kind of changes reverberate from that. But until then, I'm just kind of following along, same as anybody else.
Well, that actually leads into one more point I want to make regarding this, because I one thing that I get a lot from fans, and I completely understand it, is how can you say, like Arturas and more specifically Mark Eversley said when they got the job, we're going to be a players first organization, and then obviously there's quite a bit of evidence that players are, you know, dissatisfied with Jim. So how do you square that? And I would just say two things to that. Number one, and I said this on one other podcast, but this is where Arturas and Mark are making their money, because all the feedback I've been getting is that the players like these guys a lot. They're really transparent. They're really honest. They're really communicative. So this is where Arturas and Mark set the tone for the organization.
When you say like these guys, you're talking about the coaching staff or the front office?
No, the front office. The front office. So they're creating the atmosphere almost like in spite of what the players feel about Jim, number one. And number two, and way more importantly, is, you know, I don't really get the sense that Arturas and Mark are here to fall in love with this roster. I think there's a lot of
– I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, okay, you can elaborate in one second. I'll just say this. There are a lot of young, intriguing pieces on this roster, no doubt. But sometimes we, like, overstate, you know, because this is all we have to break down is, like, the players in front of us. This is not a great NBA roster. So, you know, they don't really – I'm not saying they don't care what these players think, but a lot of the – some of these players aren't going to be here in 2021 when they not only try to probably overhaul the roster, but possibly or potentially make a coaching change depending on how Jim's situation plays out.
Yeah, they moved into a house that was, you know, broken down and damn near dilapidated, and people were wondering if they're going to keep the kitchen counters. Like, hey – like, let them figure this out. And I know that's not the sexy thing to tell Bulls fans or tell sports fans, because you want blood and you want it now. But if I'm AK or Mark, I'm sitting in the cut and I'm seeing who's bitching about what and how much you can do to actually change it once the bitching stops, right? Like, if a player is coming to me about a coach, I'm definitely going to take heed and put it in my notes. But at the same time, I'm going to look around and say, okay, when we do get a different guy, how much better a player are you going to be? Because, I mean, everybody's on their first date representative vibes right now. Like, everybody's probably saying the right things and making you feel really comfortable about them. But the same people that you're going to let go, if you do let anybody go, you got to get intel from them about what this player's worst days looks like as well. So I think there's a lot of moving pieces. And right now, Bulls fans – first of all, they can't watch their team. And let's face it, even through the losses, I had friends who were like, yep, I'm going to watch them tomorrow night as well, because that's your team. So you can't watch your team right now. You have to watch other young teams who are hopefully ascending in their fan base's eyes, compete at the bubble. There's a coach that not many fans, if any, are happy with, who is still holding a job. And when you get a new front office, you think it's video game time. You want moves immediately. Like, you want to sim to the next date so you can get yourself some moves made, because there's nothing more attractive when you're losing than a bunch of activity. So there's a lot going on here, and I would caution Bulls fans. For instance, like, Zach LaVine, I think, is a damn good player. But there's nothing telling me that Zach's going to be here for the next 2-3 years or whatever, how long his deal is, 2 years. So I hear a lot of talking, and then I don't come up with many solutions after those conversations are done. So I know it's not the good thing and it's not the fun thing to say, but I am in a wait and see mode, because the moment Mark and AK were introduced, I tweeted, this is the last time everyone's going to love them. at this moment, watch this tape again, guys, when things may not be going according to plan, because this is the last time that everyone in this city is going to love you, and it's already started. And they understand that. They've been around the league long enough. But, yeah, to act as if this is, you know, Melo or LeBron or, you know, anybody. You name any I shouldn't have said Melo, because Melo has no sway these days. But, you know, LeBron or AD or Russell Westbrook or James Harden, these aren't these kinds of guys saying, get this coach out of here. First of all, we don't know exactly if that's the way the best players on this team feels, because that's the other thing, too. Real bona fide superstars don't get mealy-mouthed about how they feel about coaches. right? So the fact that nobody can really step out there the way they want to step out there means that you haven't ascended or done enough in the league to change things just by your discomfort. So I just there's a whole bunch going on. A lot of Bulls fans are frustrated. I think it's a combination of all those things. You can't see the team. They know who their front office is, but they want to know who their front office is by activity and moves, and none of that has happened yet, Rob.
Yeah. So I think you guys hit it right on the head. I think once they get a better sense of what this roster is actually going to look like long term, because KC, to your point, like if the Bulls are going to ascend, once again, the roster is just not going to look like this one way or the other. Once we get a better sense of that, I think we can better forecast the actual job that these guys are doing. It was just going to be impossible for them to maintain the level of goodwill, I guess, that they had in those first couple weeks when, as you said, Jason, everyone had their first impression faces on, and everything was great. So yeah, we'll see how it continues to evolve, and you know, hopefully it reaches a resolution or fizzles down at some point soon, because I'm getting a little tired, to be honest with you. It's an exhausting news cycle. I think everybody, no matter what side of this debate you come down on, can agree that it's an exhausting news cycle.
Right. I mean, we're used to off seasons where, you know, other things are happening, not us talking about a team that we can't watch play or coaches that we can't watch. Is there another team in the NBA that has these kind of questions? I won't say less questions or more questions, but, you know, because when the Bulls jumped out there with their search and all these other things while the pandemic was happening, they were one of the few teams, if not the only team, that was still able to pull off some measure of business. Like restructuring and retooling a front office is a big deal. To now, it's just like, I know the Knicks hired Tibbs, and I know, you know, some other teams are doing some other things, but like the questions that surround the Bulls, and I know every fan base probably feels like their questions are more pertinent and need addressing quicker because that's the team that they watch. But for both of you right now, like, is there another team that maybe we're watching at, you know, the bottom rung of the bubble, or teams that aren't at the bubble that you think have similar questions, or are the Bulls out here, you know, in orbit by themselves in terms of the things that they have to get figured out by the time this offseason gets underway?
Yeah, because you kind of get in your own, pun intended, bubble with your own team and, like, look at your own team's woes, right, and everything. But I do think the Bulls are in a pretty unique situation, just given that they've overhauled the front office, only franchise in the league to do that, obviously, this offseason. And it's also unique, I mean, because it just doesn't happen very often. This is only the third, managerial regime, and Jerry Rice serves 35 years as serving as the primary owner of the Bulls. So yeah, I think it's pretty specific to the Bulls. And you know, the fact that the Boylan situation is, because of the unprecedented offseason, is just hanging out there all offseason, just kind of makes it even more glaring.
Yeah, I think the Knicks offer some interesting parallels, which is it's obviously a thing that's gonna make a lot of people cringe, but just in the fact that they overhauled their front office, not during the pandemic, but recently had their coaching search and changed coaches. I think what makes the Bulls unique, though, also when you talk about this specific timeline of events that we're living right now, is that this was the summer of the Last Dance, and all of the goodwill built up by these new front office hires that everyone was so on board with was then only amplified by the fact that we got to live the, hey, remember Michael Jordan, you know, when we got to relive that for a month and a half, 2 months. Right. And I do think that just kind of only adds to the discontent being stoked now, when you look at just kind of the parallels that, you know, plagued the Bulls back then and still are swirling around them today. So I do think we get stuck in the bubbles of our own, you know, whether it be social circles, whether it be fandoms, whether it be media or whatever. But the Bulls are, and they have been, and they will continue to be pretty unique and pretty much a lightning rod for NBA discussion. So for better or worse, I mean, we're in the thick of it. So
yeah, we get stuck in our own bubbles, but you know, sometimes you get stuck in a comfortable one. This
Yeah.
Comfortable. It hasn't been very comfortable for a long, long time, since probably about 2011 or something. Let me ask you guys this before we move on to our next topic, because this is something I threw out there on Twitter and just had some fun with it with some people. Whose future would you rather have, the Knicks or the Bulls, if you started today?
I'm still going Bulls, just because the I don't think the roster, as I said before, is probably as great as we get. We kind of focus in on these players and prop them up because they're the ones we have to work with every day in terms of analyzing and covering and talking about. But I you know, the Bulls' books are clean coming up. They do have some intriguing young talent. They've got all their first round draft picks. You know, coaching situation, you'd probably give the edge to the Knicks, obviously. Tom is an elite coach. You know, and, you know, all for all the excitement about Leon Rose and World Wide West, they've never done it before. Neither have Arturis and Mark is in their chairs. So that's kind of probably a equal comp. I just go to the roster, and I think the Bulls are not in great shape, but I think they're further along than the Knicks.
And no matter how you feel about the Bulls' ownership, it's not James Dolan.
Yeah, no. I'd go Bulls too. I'm definitely a victim of the overanalyzing, overbreaking down. I think I wrote 800 words on Luke Kornet last week. You know, like I'm definitely a victim of that too. And that's no disrespect to Luke Kornet at all. That's more of a self-deprecating thing to me. But the rosters, there's definitely, even when you talk about all the flaws that the Bulls have, there is still definitely a chasm, I think, in, you know, promising young talent between each of those rosters. Coaching situation, yeah, you definitely give the edge to the Knicks. And we'll see, like, but the thing about the Bulls coaching situation is, even if Jim is the coach heading into next season, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's the coach long term. So I guess that's something that we can maybe wait a little bit longer to see how it's finally resolved when all the dust settles here. And then, yeah, front office wise, you're right, Casey, neither have been in their own featured spot yet. So maybe reserve judgment there, but on roster talent alone, I think the Bulls, even as flawed as they are, have a pretty sizable advantage. The cap space in 2021, I'm not deeply intimately aware of the Knicks books, but I know that the Bulls are in a pretty solid space with that moving forward with draft capital too. They own all their own picks. So I'd still probably go Bulls. If you'd asked me, I didn't know if you were going to say Bulls or Knicks. I was thinking you might ask Bulls or Suns or another young team in the bubble. And if we're talking about that, I think you might see the Bulls start to retreat to the back of some of those conversations. But the Knicks will always be, it seems like, will always be a good comparison to hold the Bulls up to for, you know, the time being at least.
Yeah. They're the ugly guy at the bar that you like comparing yourself to. Yeah. Shout out to the Knicks.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So speaking of developing young players and writing a lot of words about them, by the time people get this this pod, there will be a new piece penned by our guy Rob Schaefer. You got a chance to holler at Coby White. Without giving away too much, what'd you learn about the young man out of North Carolina?
Yeah, I won't give away the whole thing. And depending on when you're listening to this, it should be live on our website and on social media and everything like that right now.
If you listen to this when you should be listening to it, as soon as it dropped, then it is ready for you. So get right to it as soon as you're done listening to this.
True. But yeah, it was good to talk to Coby. We talked for a little bit. He on Tuesday, so we're taping this on a Thursday, coming out on Friday, but this was earlier this week. He co-led along with Nafisa Collier, a player from the Minnesota Lynx, co-led what's called a life skill session with some junior NBA alumni and who are participating in the virtual junior NBA championship this year. Sounded like a cool event. So talk to Coby a little bit about that and kind of the things that they talked about. They hit on a wide range of topics relating to obviously social justice, racism and life challenges that come along with that, and how Kobe has navigated them, how he wants to pass advice down to kids coming up through the junior NBA system, navigating those types of things and still chasing your dreams and things of that nature. So it was a good conversation. We touched on some bigger picture topics as well. And what I learned about Kobe is this is something that has kind of been hinted at. You know, you talk to him and, you know, teammates will call him mature and coaches call him an adaptable, kind of precocious, young guy. But what I didn't know about him is back in Goldsboro, I mean, we know about his kind of illustrious high school career there. We have a sense of kind of what a guy who makes it to the NBA from there might be perceived as in his hometown, but he really has, hearing him talk, taken on a leadership role with a lot of high schoolers around that area, a lot of basketball players around that area, taking kids under his wing. Obviously, you know, I asked him about how that ties into his childhood experience, like kind of wanting to pass that down. He didn't bring up Chris Paul, but that's obviously a well-documented relationship that Chris Paul was a huge resource to the White family and to Kobe, a big mentor there. And Kobe talks so glowingly about his family and the guidance and the support system that they've provided for him. But what I learned about him is that, yeah, he's taken on that leadership role back in his hometown. And yeah, without giving away too much, I just think it only adds to kind of how impressive and good of a dude he seems, even at only 20. So, but yeah, it was good to catch up with him. Seems like he's doing well. And yeah, check out the piece if you're interested in it.
Really happy that young man is a Bull, man. On draft night, I thought he was the second best guard after Ja Morant, and we will see. But he has definitely exceeded my expectations. KC, you and I have talked about him, and Rob, we've talked about him as well. Those last seven games, so he is at putting up, 26 a game? I mean, those were real games he was playing in, and the wins weren't there, but he was one of the few people on the court that people were designed to stop at the end of the season, and they didn't do a good enough job stopping him, so it shows you where the floor is for his career. I'm just – and all the other stuff on top of it, getting a chance to talk to him. Him and his brother are right here on this podcast. He is one of those dudes who you hope sticks around this city for as long as possible, because I think there's something more there. Just besides being a terrific basketball player, I think there's something that he can add to this this city that we love so much.
I agree.
So now where do we go from here? I think that the Bulls would have fared okay in this bubble experiment. And by okay, I mean, you look at Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, they've lost four games and they got some tough games coming up here. But watching this bubble develop and seeing certain things, like watching the Lakers struggle with their offense and, you know, watching a team like the Rockets just not only do what they've done, but do it to another level. Now we'll see how they fare without Russell. And that I believe he's got a quad injury. But is there any surprises in terms of what we've seen over the last couple of days? The small sample size and the oddity of the bubble obviously are going to come into play when we talk about the ending of this season. But have you guys seen anything since the last time that we potted that that you've raised an eyebrow at in the bubble?
Rob, you can go.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about raising an eyebrow. I think some of the biggest takeaways after a week of it are, it's just been really fun to watch the Raptors continue to emerge. It does seem to me, yes, my own personal opinion, but it seems to me like them and the Bucks are kind of in their own tier in the East, because the Celtics haven't looked phenomenal really since the All-Star break, but in the bubble either. I mean, Miami has looked pretty awesome too. They just got a win over Boston without Jimmy Butler. That was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But the Raptors are just such a fun team to watch. Another interesting factor into thinking about how the Bulls would project in this kind of environment is, there hasn't really been a lot of defense played in a lot of these games. I don't have the numbers. I'm not privy to the numbers in terms of scoring or, you know, shooting percentages or anything like that. But I guarantee that offensive efficiency is pretty far up in the bubble for whatever reason that is. If it's because it's just a place where pure scorers are benefiting more, or it's the scrimmage type ambiance to it. I don't know. But certainly, even as the Bulls were losing a lot of those games, we're talking about Kobe White specifically, those last 9 or 10 games of the season, even as they were losing those games, that growth from him specifically and kind of another other one-off performances that we saw were it seemed like fun to watch and something that fans can take even a modicum of a silver lining in. So thinking about how the Bulls would have projected in an environment like this where it really does have kind of an open gym feel, That would have been fun. But yeah, I mean, the other thing, now that the opening weekend glow has kind of starting to fade away, I actually am impressed with how normal the presentation feels. The fanless environment hasn't really thrown me off yet. I think the deeper we get into the playoffs, we're going to miss the buzz and the roars and the things like that. But for now, I think the presentation has looked pretty good. They can just lose the crowd noise and I'm good. But yeah, I've just been impressed. I'm pleasantly surprised that no cases have permeated the bubble yet. I mean, that could change by the time this comes out tomorrow. I hope it doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's been a pleasant surprise because I was as skeptical as anyone about that aspect. But yeah, I mean, basketball's back. It continues to be fun. And yeah, just hope it continues.
Anyone worried about the Lakers offense just needs two words: playoff Rondo. He's coming, baby. He's coming back. But yeah, no, the Lakers offense has, you know, been, it's only a week, but especially given what Rob talked about, how nobody's playing defense there, the Lakers offense has been a little bit of a concerning question mark. I certainly think in these early games, the Clippers have looked better than the Lakers, but, you know, I'm not here to.
Even though they lost the Lakers?
What's that?
Yeah. Even though they lost the Lakers?
Yeah. Because I think they just played better basketball and looked better as a team.
Lakers are clunky. And LeBron, I think, is trying to prove something defensively. And then he gets to the fourth quarter like, man, am I old? Because he got 16, 9, and 7 or something like that for his bubble numbers so far? Yeah, and he's out with a groin injury. I think they just – I just seen it cross the wire that LeBron is out versus the Rockets tonight with a groin injury. And, yeah, the Lakers look a little clunky right now. And I thought you were going to say playoff Avery Bradley, but playoff Rajon Rondo is going to have to do too.
I've also liked the Suns. Like, I know we kind of touched on them briefly before, but they're just fun to watch play. They obviously get up and down the court, a lot of young talent, not great team, but certainly a fun team to watch, particularly in this setting. And, you know, every time you hear Monty Williams speak, you just can't. I mean, forget about what happened in his. I shouldn't say that. Not forget what happened in his life. Obviously, putting that aside, which is hard to do. But just every time you hear that guy speak, you just see a poise and a confidence and a belief, and you can see why players like playing for him, because he just seems like someone that you know, is a straight shooter, but does it in an honest way that makes you want to play for him. I talked to Cameron Payne the other day about, you know, sticking in the league, and he talked about how Monty's been a big help for him. You know, he had them both in Oklahoma City when Monty was an assistant there, and now as his head coach in the restart. And it's been fun for me to watch the Suns and see how they're playing for Monty Williams.
By the way, that's bubble MVP Cameron Payne.
M-I-P.
M-I-P. M-I-P.
No, I said bubble most valuable player.
You didn't stutter. You said it, David.
Okay. All right. I tried to bail you out.
I mean, if you're going to put together an all-bubble team right now, and it doesn't have to be like the greatest achievers, but the guys that you like watching the most. It might be the guys that you like watching when there isn't a bubble. But
we might have to do that. We might have to do that on the pod, do homework and bring in.
I mean, you know, we don't need homework for this pod. Have you listened to the last three episodes? Come on, man.
TJ Warren. TJ Warren.
On everybody's list.
I mean, let's just start spitting out names. TJ Warren, Gary Trent Jr. has been outstanding.
Booker.
Fred VanVleet before he got hurt.
Booker.
Who else we got? I mean, you know.
Brandon Ingram.
Brandon Ingram's been fun. You know, the Pelicans, dude. The Pelicans. It's far too often they look like five strangers wearing the same jersey for me, because the amount of talent that they put on the court at any given time, obviously there's some young guys and then they got Drew Holiday and some other dudes that are mixed in there. But you think that if that team ever got it together with the collection that they got, and obviously off of the Anthony Davis trade, that team is maddening to watch sometimes.
And they're getting blown out by the Kings. So there you go.
Yeah, about to give 150 to the Kings. Oh, Jaren Jackson Jr. is someone we should shout out to. He got hurt, but he was balling. Oh, my God. That is such a bummer to see him go down, obviously, as a person, but also just he was playing such great basketball.
And shout out to Jamal Crawford 7 minutes, though. You know what I'm saying? My guy JC got back in there and then had a hamstring injury, as 40-year-olds are apt to do. But, yeah, and he still looks like he's 22 years old. Jamal Crawford still. And I know you're very fond of Jamal, KC, as we all are.
Yeah.
Also, another piece of news, guys, Ben Simmons, one of the league's shining stars, with a subluxation of his kneecap, which I think is the clinical term of a dislocated kneecap. It's a terrible injury. Hopefully it won't hamper or hinder him going forward. It's an indefinite diagnosis in terms of how long he'll be out. This obviously changes the trajectory of their hopes for a playoff push. And let's face it, they had been playing very well in the bubble with him. And I'm not saying that they're better without him at all, by the way. So I think Ben Simmons is a terrific talent, as does everybody else who watches. But KC, let's start with you. Ben Simmons, he's coming to the league with a lot of fanfare. He's lived up to some of the hype. He hasn't exceeded those expectations. He's one of the better defenders in the game, terrific passer. He's a terrific fast break player, but obviously the half-court limitations with the shot is something that we've talked about for the last couple of years or so, and now you get to this point where every player has to deal with it at some point, which is injury. This is his first really, really big one since we saw him in that redshirt year, his rookie year.
Yeah, wonderful player, but you know those half-court concerns you bring up, Jason, are exacerbated to me in the playoffs, and obviously that's borne out in his young career. I think he's a player that you can kind of game plan for when you're seeing him every night over and over, and particularly at the end of games and playoff games where the game shrinks a little bit, it becomes a little bit more half-court oriented and shooting becomes more of a premium. I think some of his weaknesses get exposed. Obviously something he can solve. He's young enough and talented enough, but those questions are going to remain until he's able to do so. And obviously this injury could be another setback along those lines.
Rob?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they adapt as well, because I know they just kind of made that big decision to move Shake Milton to the starting lineup and Al Horford to the bench. Do you bring Al back into the starting lineup and go uber big? You're going to be a great defensive team pretty much regardless of what you do with Joel Embiid manning the middle, and he's looked great in the bubble so far as well. It's a bummer. It's going to be a chance to kind of see. I know they had a stretch without Embiid towards the end of the season before the hiatus where they looked pretty good with just Simmons and no Embiid. Be interesting to see how the inverse of that looks. But it's just a bummer, and it kind of highlights a team that a lot of people, I think, have been disappointed by this year. They were a lot of people's picks, obviously, to make the finals. I didn't have a public forum to make my picks at the time of the start of the season, but I might have jumped on that train because I thought they were just going to be so smothering defensively that would have been a real possibility for him. But pretty much no matter how this season ends, we don't have a timetable on the Simmons injury, but it looks like it'll at least have him miss some of the first round of the playoffs, if not deeper into the playoffs. If there's a first or either a first or second round exit for them, which seems likely, depending on what their first round matchup is, I just am going to be really tuned in to what they do with that roster come the offseason, because even when everyone's healthy, it just feels a little bit mismatched. They've got a lot of long-term money on the books in Tobias Harris and Al Horford, who are both productive players. There's no doubt about that. But I'll just be interested to see what they do. And just another kind of hurdle in a underwhelming season for them is what I'd call it. I mean, they win a pretty sizable majority of their games, and they're a great team, obviously, at home, one of the better home teams in the league. So you're not going to say it was a completely disappointing season, but definitely underwhelmed and just a bummer. Just wish him a speedy and a full recovery, of course.
Man, just think how things would be viewed differently headed into decision-making time when it comes to the duo of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. If that Kawhi Leonard shot doesn't bounce around on that rim three or four times and go in, I think we'd be talking about a different vibe surrounding that team. And now you have to deal with injury. You already dealt with it with Joel. Now you have to start dealing with Ben Simmons, who I think, I don't think those two are going to win a championship together. And the odds are against it, obviously, with the duos that have won championships over the last 15, 20 years. But I don't think that either one of those guys will allow for each other reaching their potential while they play with each other. I could be wrong, but I think that they are they're mismatched pieces. But we will see.
If you had to build around one, who would it be? We should do this every episode. One word answer at the end of it.
Yeah. If I had to build around one player, who would it be? I'd be building around Ben Simmons.
Hey, go ahead and hate on Joel like you usually do. Go ahead.
I'm not hating on Joel. It's the expectations, Tony. You got to have expectations. And when I have expectations in Joel Embiid, and I think Joel Embiid could be a top two or three player in the NBA to me. And for whatever reason, you know, whether it be the weight, whether it be the picking when to dominate, I think he's going to have himself a Hall of Fame career. I just hope he snatches a championship in it before he goes away. Whereas with Ben, he's got the ball in his hands at all times. Obviously the shot and all those things are not sufficient, but the way he defends, the things that he can affect offensively and defensively, and the things that I won't have to worry about with him in terms of shape, I probably go with Ben Simmons.
I go Embiid. I want the ceiling. I just shoot for – because that ceiling is just so, so tantalizing. Yeah. Not ready to give up on the guy yet. I mean, obviously, to all your points, the clock is ticking on it. Not a knock on Simmons. It's just all things equal, if you surround both of them with shooting, I really do think either of them are – best player on a contending team caliber guys. It just, to your point, it just doesn't seem like it's meshing together. What do you think, Chase?
Well, to pick one of them?
Yeah.
I'm going with Ben Simmons.
I mean, like, it's easier. All right, how should I put this? Think of the star big men in the NBA, right? Think of the best big men in the NBA. And now think of championship contention. And then think of the players who are the star forwards and star guards, star wing players. I think in this NBA, it's easier to build around a 6'10" slashing forward / point guard who has that kind of potential than it is a guy like Joel Embiid who you have to get the ball to. I think the game has changed so much that the days of that guy being the centerpiece in a championship, I don't know if they're gone, but that window is closing.
That's fair. What do you think, Tony? You want to jump in?
Yeah, what do you think, Tony?
Yeah, give me Embiid, man. Come on. Like,
yeah.
I can't trust Ben, like, in terms of trust. Now, both – I get it.
I get it.
It's tough to trust Joel, too, but
– he has the same diet as me, Tony.
And he's still out here doing people out here, man. Like – Joel Embiid, and I made a lot of people, like, he could be the best player in the league if he wanted to, and it's just
pushing. Think about that. That's why I don't want him.
and I'm just trying to find maybe Brett Brown isn't the right coach to get him to that level. I mean, that needs to be considered. He's been there for a while. But
you've been dancing. Yeah.
I mean, I talked about this with Rob. Like, he's the Shaq version of what 2020 basketball is to me. Like, Shaq was a physical dominant presence in the era that he played. And I think in the space out game that is the NBA right now, I think Embiid is that level.
He's got Elijah type skills, man. Like, the dude is – he's a generational talent. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know that I've – and all three, you know that I think Joel Embiid is a monster. I think he's a terrific talent. I don't trust him. And to be clear, I don't know how much I trust Ben Simmons. Yeah. But, you know, in these days where we are thinking about who do you trust more if you don't trust anybody, I think I'm going to vote for Ben Simmons. You know, I think I'm going to – I'm going to cast my belly with old Ben Simmons.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Ben Simmons' outside of basketball decisions.
he's got the Kardashian curse on him. That's
I mean, that's different, though. You know, that's the NBA life that he's choosing to lead. I think that Ben Simmons – is I won't say salvageable. Like, I think you can kind of get to a dude and teach him how to shoot, or just get past the mental block of shooting, right?
I will say, when you look at how the Markelle Fultz thing ended, though, like, is that in Philly? where that's going to happen for him. Maybe who we shouldn't be trusting is Philly, the organization, more than either of the players individually. I don't know.
You hear that, Elton Brand? Rob Schaefer doesn't trust you.
maybe.
Nah, it's a good problem to have, though. You know, I'd rather have, you know, which all-star do you need to get rid of to win a championship, as opposed to, hey, man, that number 7 pick, we should be studying about it again. So, but we will see. We will see. We'll have more bubble talk and more coaching talk and all the other stuff that goes along with the Bulls Talk podcast. Rob, KC, thank you so much for your time. Make sure you click on Rob's piece with Coby White on NBCSportsChicago.com. Make sure you click on everything that KC Johnson and Rob Schaefer do, because they put a lot of time and a lot of effort, and they're really, really good at their jobs. So make sure you follow them as well. And anytime that you want to yell at Tony or I for anything we say on Twitter, just direct it to Rob Schaefer and KC Johnson. They handle all of our.
I think they found KC, but you can sling something my way too.
Yeah. Anything Derrick Rose or Bulls related, just go right to KC. Just if everything go right to KC. With Tony Gill, Rob Schaefer, KC Johnson, I'm Jason Goff. Thank you once again for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show, because you know you love the show. Feel free to rate and review us. Make sure that you tell your smart speaker to play Bulls Talk podcast as well. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you soon. Be safe. Take care of each other. See you later. Check it out. NBC has got something special for you. Introducing our brand new streaming service, Peacock TV. From live sports to news, documentaries, and even some of your favorite shows, NBC Universal's new streaming service, Peacock, has it all. Learn more at PeacockTV.com, exclusive home for all of NBC Sports' free Premier League coverage, In Deep with Ryan Lochte, and Lost Speedways, hosted by Dale Earnhardt Jr., and so much more. That's PeacockTV.com, PeacockTV.com, to learn more.